Red on the Run by K.M. Hodge. He swallowed hard as he took her in.
Damn.
He adjusted his thrift store tie and smoothed out his suit, suddenly concerned about his own appearance and what she might think of him. She blushed under the weight of his heavy, inquisitive gaze, but regained her composure and walked towards him with her hand extended in greeting.
Special Agent Bailey?
He took her hand in a firm grasp and smiled. Please, call me Alex. You must be Catherine. Do you want to sit at the bar or get a table?
The bar is fine.
Alex, ever the consummate gentleman, nodded and held out his arm to let her go ahead of him. He couldn't help but notice her toned calf muscles flex as she took her seat at the bar. He shook his head to try and regain his focus. The bartender, Nin, smiled at Catherine as she took her seat at the bar.
Usual?
Nin asked. Catherine nodded and he turned back to pour her a glass of tonic with a twist of lime. When he returned with it, she took a sip of her tonic water and set it back down. Without thinking, Alex ordered another drink. He had begun to find it harder and harder to keep it together. And tonight's drinks were only adding fuel to the fire that was already threatening to turn into an out-of-control blaze. The Many Worlds of Benjamin Franklin by Frank R. Donovan. Ben sailed out of Boston Harbor in September 1723, and in 3 days was in New York. This strange city of high gabled houses built by the Dutch did not offer much opportunity for a printer's assistant. Only half the size of Boston, it had one printer in the entire town. He was William Bradford, who would later be ranked as a pioneer of American journalism. Bradford told Ben that he did not need a new hand, but that perhaps his son Andrew, who was in the printing business in Philadelphia, might be able to use him. So, without pause, Ben set out for Pennsylvania. Since he did not have enough money for coach fare or a coastal voyage, he walked across New Jersey and hitchhiked down the Delaware in a large rowboat, spending most of one night pulling on an oar. He arrived in Philadelphia on a Sunday morning, dirty and tired, with only a few copper coins in his pocket. On the day Ben arrived, the streets were filled with clean-dressed people on their way to church, sober Quakers who seemed to him much like the strict Puritans of Boston. But Franklin had little inclination for church going that morning. He was hungry. And he hurried to a bakery where he spent 3 pennies for 3 large rolls. Then he walked down Market Street with one of the rolls under each arm as he munched on the third. Bibles and Ball Bats by Israel Allen. Chapter 3. Coach Raines walked over and began shaking hands with each of the kids, so we all followed. Most of the boys mumbled their names, so I couldn't understand them all. There was a Vitali and a Vasile and an Ian. Then I came to Oksana. I know it has nothing to do with why we were there, and I felt a little guilty about it, but I was already crushing hard. When she shook my hand and I looked into her gray eyes, I felt my cheeks go red. She smiled, and I smiled back and nodded, trying not to look as stupid as I felt.
I am Oksana. Again, tell me your name?
Lucas, I said. She was still shaking my hand, and I really didn't want to let go. I was holding on, looking into her eyes, when I felt someone pull my hand away and start shaking it.
I am Anatoly, but you call me Aunt. Are you listening?
Yes, she's very beautiful,
but I am talking to you. Do you hear me?
Aunt, I said. It's nice to meet you, Aunt. He had gotten me moving again, but my cheeks were as hot as blazes while I shook the rest of their hands. I wanted to look back at her, to see how she reacted, but I was too embarrassed.